This is Lauren Bond, and welcome to Dub Labs Out There. Imagine a soundscape that not only stimulates your auditory senses, but also connects us with the more than human world. Metabolic Sonic's groundbreaking practice, in which we have literally broken through the concrete of the LA River, fuses the machine with the biological.
Welcome to Metabolic Studio. My name is Andrea, and I'm going to give you a little bit of an introduction to the project today. So we are standing here at the Metabolic Studio On Development 2 site, and I hope you all have had a chance to visit the LA State Historic Park, which is right across the street. So before it was a park, it was a train yard, considered a brownfield here in Los Angeles. And in 2005, Lauren Bond created a one-year agreement with the state park system to plant a 32-acre cornfield. And that project had multiple benefits. It was A, to clean the soil. We know that corn is a phytoremediator. And B, also to bring a new perspective to what this space could be. While that corn was growing, it was clear that the corn needed water. The LA River is right here. It just makes sense to water this piece of land with the LA River water. If you can imagine where we are today without all the concrete, without all the asphalt, without all these buildings, this was the floodplain of the Los Angeles River. As the rains came down, this area would have flooded, and this area would have gotten all of its water needs for the year because it was the floodplain. It was a very fertile piece of land. So she took some water trucks down there, just filled them up and watered the corn until the city folks told her that she can't do that for many reasons, liability being a big one. Lauren said, what if we were able to water this piece of land with water from the Los Angeles River? So that created a project that we call Bending the River. And this project's been going on for over 10 years, and we are now almost on the 20-year anniversary of the Not a Cornfield project. So what we have now built is a well on our property called the Mother Well. We have infrastructure in the LA River channel that will help move the water from the LA River low flow into the well so that eventually we can water the LA State Historic Park. So all these projects along the way have created smaller projects that we sort of think of as tributaries to the river. We're going to talk about the soil that came from the Mother Well and the concrete and the material that we pulled out of the river in order to do the construction. What did we do with that material? And then we have a lot of soil remediation that has been done in order to prepare for this water to come in to the property. So we have all that we want to share with you today and all kinds of soil repairing methodologies that we've tried here at our studio.
Hi, my name is Diego Zapata. Today I want to talk to you a little bit more in depth about our history. At the end of the Pleistocene, the end of the last ice age, Los Angeles never fully glaciated, but we did have an abundance of snowpack in all of the mountain ranges that surround our basin. And as climate started to warm, that snowpack started to melt, and the Los Angeles River coalesced in the lower lying areas of the Los Angeles River Basin. As it melted, it carried with it all this beautiful alluvium that we call at the studio the floodplain, which you will see a lot of throughout the rest of the tour. Within this time frame, indigenous peoples, the Garolino Tongva, Garolino Keech, Garolino Shoshone, moved into the basin and made their home here. There was so much abundance, so much life in this part of the world that the Garolino Tongva never had to practice traditional forms of agriculture. There was food, medicine everywhere. They did practice traditional forms of land stewardship, like prescribed burning, but they never went as far as building monocultures and clear-cutting forests to grow food. It just was not necessary. Portola, for instance, remarked that there was nowhere that they could set foot in the basin without being under the shelter of beautiful large oak trees, sycamore trees. In 1781, the Spanish government started enslaving the indigenous peoples here to start building what we call the Zanja Madre, or the Mother Ditch. The Mother Ditch was the first diversion of Los Angeles River water to the city of Los Angeles, and it pretty much ran along what we call Broadway now, to the Pueblo de Los Angeles. In 1873, the city of Los Angeles gave a land grant to the Southern Pacific Railroad in what is present-day Los Angeles State Historic Park. And all of the immigrants, all of the freight, all of the goods that were moving to and away from the city of Los Angeles were being brought to the state park in the transcontinental terminus of the Southern Pacific Railroad. The thing I really want to emphasize is the occupation of the Southern Pacific Railroad in this area led to a lot of heavy metal contamination. They used heavy metals, mostly lead, in all of their alloys. They used lead to line a lot of their railroads, and a lot of the telegraph lines that ran along the railroads also were insulated with lead. Where you are standing today at Metabolic Studio was actually the former site of Standard Oil. At the time, oil drilling was happening all over the city of Los Angeles, right in people's neighborhoods and people's backyards, and all of the oil that was being extracted in the east side was being stored here. In 1913, William Mulholland infamously declared, "Take your water," right? We began diverting water from Owens Valley to Los Angeles, displacing a bunch of indigenous communities and agricultural industries, basically creating a local dust bowl in Owens Valley. And that also marked the same year that the Zanja Madre fully fell into disrepair. We no longer relied on the Los Angeles River for our local water supply because we started stealing water everywhere else. In 1938, the city of Los Angeles experienced a 100-year storm. And the Los Angeles River flooded very horribly and displaced many communities that were living and growing right next to the river. It also killed over 100 people. And this prompted the federal government to start channelizing the river with the Army Corps of Engineers. In 1934, the federal government passed a National Housing Act that essentially created this systemic practice of redlining. So communities like Chinatown, Lincoln Heights, Boyle Heights were redlined. Any person of color was only able to live within these redlined communities, essentially barred from a lot of financial services that the federal government and banks were providing. So you couldn't get a mortgage, you couldn't get a loan. And so what we end up having now is very toxic areas full of heavy metals and petrochemicals co-occurring with communities of color. So the 1930s pretty much marked the channelization of the river, our exploitation of the American West for water, and also set forth all of the environmental injustice the city of Los Angeles is still dealing with.
I'm Alex Tanasi. I'm a ceramicist here at the studio. So here's a continuation of the extracted soil from the mother well. This is a lot different than what you saw in the other room, which is floodplain. This is going to be underneath the floodplain. This is going to be at about 50 feet down. This has had the most contact with water for many, many years, and not having too much endemic life in it, but the stones and all the silt that makes this soil is maybe millions of years old. So a long time ago, this used to be a seabed. We know this because there were whale bones found in Lincoln Heights, just on the other side of the LA River. So there's going to be a lot of plant life. There's all these organics that are in there. Nutrients that should be thought of in any kind of remediation project or making any kind of soil. Potassium, calcium, sodium, magnesium, and iron. Behind me, you're going to see where we process clay by filtering it through water and drying it out. When you do find clay, one of the things you could do is use it in utility or use it for irrigation. These are some of the things that we're practicing. The olla is a porous pot. This is buried in the ground and it leaches out water for irrigation. And other ways that we're practicing is by making things with the public. You're seeing behind me things that we've done. This is part of the practice of not just making things, but sharing the stories. Working with schools as well to teach the importance of this clay and using it as a utility.
Maru Garcia. I'm a fellow here at Metabolica Studio, and today I want to talk about on development, which is about fighting development, breaking the concrete, and letting the soil breathe. In this section of the warehouse, we started breaking the concrete and taking soil samples out of this space. What we found was that we have high lead levels and high concentrations of petrochemicals. We kind of knew that this was gonna be the case because of the use of the site previously as a standard oil facility. For this experiment, we divided the area in 9 plots, applying 3 different treatments. Treatment A being the application of amendments, including minerals, compost, mulch, and some plants. Treatment B just contains minerals, compost, and mulch, and treatment C is just compost and mulch. The minerals that we are using are called zeolites. These minerals are naturally occurring, and studies have shown that zeolites are really good at trapping lead into its crystalline structure. The plants that we used are plants that have this capacity of accumulating lead into the roots. So they are called bioaccumulators. One thing to consider is that lead is not as other type of contaminants that can be broken or decomposed. Lead is actually a naturally occurring element, and we cannot break it, but we can transform its toxicity. So far, our results are saying treatment A, the one that has the plants and the amendments at the same time, is the one that is showing less concentration of lead through time because the plants are actually absorbing the lead into the roots. Plot B is giving us also information saying that the lead is getting less bioavailable through the application of zeolites. This is hopeful and is giving us a lot of information of what to do next in the rest of the warehouse.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Michel Boyard. When we consider the megastructures, the pile of soil, the logs, the plants even, we don't often consider insects, small mammals, invertebrates that are part of the ecosystem. What is different with these creatures is that they are mobile. At the opposite of seeds who rely on the wind or maybe birds dropping to disseminate insects and small creatures, they can move, they can fly, they can crawl. In here, we have an example of a system that contains both endemic local fauna and insects and other animals that came here because they are attracted by the exuberant ecosystem. For example, this very special butterfly or moth is responsible for killing the logs. Now, this is not a bad thing because those oaks now being on the ground, they're going to feed the soil and they're also going to make room for the younger oaks to grow and have access to the light and nutrient. Many of those creatures are going to enrich the soil by processing the logs. They are going to digest the wood, they are going to attract other insects and vertebrates, and soon they'll have a vibrant ecosystem right there. And that is due to the microorganisms and very small creatures we often overlook. Some of them came afterward. The western fence lizards came here, and it's probably present in all the experiments here. They love this environment, they visit, they have food, they have bugs to eat, to feed on. So for example, recently we found a beetle, the diabolical ironclad beetle, that is processing the rotten wood and the fungi that feeds on it. This is a very special insect that is found mostly under oaks, so we're very excited to have it here. The pill bug is a great decomposer, but it's also, we found out, an animal that can digest and accumulate lead. So all those microorganisms and small creatures, they are very important. They can move on their own, they can digest rotting matter, they can inoculate, and they become agents of change.
Hi there, my name is Stefano, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about this tank that you see on my left. This is a 90-gallon freshwater tank, and what you see here is basically a replica of the Los Angeles River as you would see it in the soft bottom part of the river, which is literally about a mile north going upstream. It's a beautiful area, it's close to Frogtown. If you haven't been there yet, I invite you to go visit. We are really trying to replicate in the vegetation that grows there as well as the substrate. So what you see in this tank is a substrate composed of floodplain as well as logs and clay and other natural elements that are present in the soft bottom of the Los Angeles River. We also see native plants from the LA River. Right now we have a royal willow, pepper willow, and spikebrush. We also have some duckweed on top of the tank. We also have some little fish in there because, like any body of water, you basically create a heaven for mosquitoes. So what those fish do is basically eat the larvae eggs before they turn into mosquitoes. On the other end, on my right side here, you see a 16-gallon tank. The water inside this tank is 100% from the Los Angeles River. Lauren has always been very interested in finding alternative ways of cleaning the water, rather than chlorine and a bunch of other chemicals. This is a very easy and replicable experiment. It is three different layers, and the water circles through those layers constantly. The very first layer is floodplain, the natural element that is in the soft bottom of the Los Angeles River, the very rocky hardscape that blocks bacteria from passing by. In the middle, the zeolite. And the zeolite is another amazing mineral, and it really, really traps, even more than the floodplain does, all these bacteria. And then lastly, we have biochar, which essentially is charcoal. If you guys think of Brita filter that you use at home, it's very much the same. Now, we have started this experiment about 3 weeks ago, having the water circling through the filter constantly. We send a test of the water straight from the Los Angeles River and then a test of water from this tank after it's been cycling for about 3 weeks. And we've noticed that this system works pretty well. We were able to almost completely remove E. coli. E. coli is the main bacteria that you want to remove for a Title 22, the standard required in California for water to be safe to be used for irrigation purposes. So as you know, we're catching the water from the Los Angeles River through the mother well, and then the final journey will be into the state park. So we are trying to find ways to filter that water to be up to the standard of Title 22.
Hi, I'm Kelly. I'm here to talk about the Bending the River project and how that kind of relates to everything that you've seen in the warehouse so far. So what we're standing in front of here is a model of Bending the River. If you look into the river in most areas where it's a concrete bottom, there's a small channel within the river that's always got water in it. And that is called the low flow channel. We have a grate in the low flow channel of the river. It goes into a pipe. There's a little person on our model. That's where we can open and close the pipes using the giant key that's on the wall behind us. That opens to allow all of the pipes in the river to fill with water. So a manhole structure to 300 feet of vitrified clay pipe. To another manhole structure. To a stilling well on our site that's 50 feet deep. So this is the phase we're at currently, the completion of the mother well, which will turn into the next phase, water treatment and all of the irrigation going to the LA State Historic Park and a couple of parks on the other side of the river. Now that we just looked at the in-river portion, we're gonna zoom out a little bit and look at this model, which is actually a large model of the LA State Historic Park as it stands almost currently. So the string in the river represents the location of the pipes that are in ground under the concrete jacket, with a red line to our site, which is where the mother well is, and then a line that goes through our building, which is where the treatment wetlands and the natural river will eventually connect up to the seasonal wetland that runs through the park. At the studio, we repurpose and reuse everything that would normally be thrown away. The concrete that was cut, which are now the triangles, which you'll see around our site, and all of that floodplain material that we had to dig out in order to put the infrastructure in. So almost 80% of the rainwater that falls on the LA Basin runs directly into the storm drains to the LA River Channel, Biona Creek, and a couple of the other concretized tributaries, and it rushes straight out to the ocean. Not cleaned, not retained, and it's a really big wasted resource. Most of Los Angeles was once a floodplain for the LA River. So if you look at this model, you'll actually see the representation of that, the topography of the mountains, and how when it used to flood, all of the good silt and sand and trees and materials would create these really lush floodplains that were great for biodiversity and habitat. But obviously, once we channelized everything, it stopped all of that growth. And so one of the things we would like you to consider while doing these tours is this big idea of undevelopment. We need to start capturing that water before it goes to the LA River. We know that climate crisis is real. We know that severe weather storms and more rain are coming, and the river channel was built
for models and predictions that were done in the 60s. So we've blown past all of those calculations. So undevelopment is really about how do we reclaim the floodplain, bring back the biodiversity, and work within our urban cyborg watershed, because we can't turn everything back to the way it once was. We're past that point, but we now need to create a new way of thinking and a new way of treating not only human life, but all the non-human life.